to go into God's Word and to find those things that pertains to life and godliness, because that's what's there. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is found within the pages of the Scriptures. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions, and we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. We focus on the Bible, or what some call the Scriptures, because, well, that's what God has given us as His instructions. And so we don't have to make up answers. If we're doing something religiously, if we're doing something in our worship, if we're doing something and we're saying that this is of God, then we need to have the authority to do it, and that authority is found within the pages of the Scriptures, or what we call the Bible. And thus it makes sense for us when it comes down to matters of faith, matters concerning the church, matters concerning anything of a religious nature, to let the Bible speak. And so we encourage you right now to go ahead and call in your questions. Again, the lines are open. That number to call is 308-9564. Again, that's 308-9564. And we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. Now, if you wish to send us a text question, you can do that. We do have a text line, and the area code is 843, and the text number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283, and we will answer that question on the air today as time permits, which brings up another thought. What happens sometimes towards the end of the broadcast, we get a lot of questions that come in, and so it can be difficult for us to answer those questions prior to the broadcast ending. And so we encourage you that as the question comes up in your mind, to go ahead and call those questions in or text those questions in immediately so we can try to get to those questions during today's broadcast. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's the number to the station here for you to call in your question, 308-9564. And if you prefer, you can text in your question at 725-9283.
Again, we are glad and delighted that you are taking this time out this Sunday afternoon to take a moment to look inside the Scriptures of God's Word and to be able to get some answers from the questions that may be on your hearts and on your mind. We encourage you to dial 308-9564, 308-9564. You can ask your question of anything that pertains to life and godliness, and we will do our absolute best to go to the Scriptures to get your answer, book, chapter, verse, from God's Word. It is our earnest prayer and earnest hope that you are hearing God's words when we're giving you the answers to these questions. You're not hearing me or Nick or whoever comes on the radio airwaves, that you're not hearing just the people and thinking that it's our opinions that we are giving you. We are doing our best to just give you God's words and the answers to the questions that are asked. And once again, we encourage you to dial 308-9564. It's the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Or the text line is available. If you would prefer to text in your question, you may do that as well. 725-9283 is the text line, 725-9283. We also want to mention our website, www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com can be another tool that we have to aid you in multiple things. One, you can click live streaming and hear the radio program live on the computer, and so that would be helpful to you who may know someone outside of the radio audience that can hear on the actual radio. They can listen online. As well, we have a box there on the homepage where you can send in your text questions. You can actually type in your questions there on the website and send in the question, and it will come to us as a text question. So we also have that available. We're trying to do anything we can to make ourselves available to you and to serve you as best we can, as the Lord would be given glory to the things that we say and do. That is our earnest prayer. Once again, the line, the phone to get to us here at the station, 308-9564 is the voice line. We can answer your question. You can have it written down, or you can ask your question live on the air if you prefer that. 308-9564 is the number to do that today. Or we can also have you to text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We want to encourage you further that as you listen to the broadcast today, and not just today, but anytime you're listening to a radio station that proclaims to be putting out the Word of God, that you would search those things out in the Scriptures and not just take it at face value. And so make sure that you're searching those things out. And if you find those things to be true, then it's our encouragement that you would do those things. It's so important for you and I to be people who are doers of the Word. In fact, there is a passage in the book of James, James chapter 1, and James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." And so we must first seek to understand, then to be understood. Let us be people who are prepared to hear God's word. And if we find these things to be true, then let's do what is said in verse 22 of James chapter 1, which says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And so as we know better, as we learn better, we must be willing to do better. That's our encouragement to you. As you listen to this broadcast and we give scriptures, search those things out to make sure those things are in fact true. And if you find these things to be true, then do these things. We have to change our lives. We have to change the way we talk. We have to change the way we walk, change the way we live, change the way we give. And that change, it has to be based upon the pattern that is revealed in God's word. And so unless I'm prepared to change, then I want to continue to do the things that I ought not. God is looking for true worshipers, the Bible says. There's a type of worshiper that God would consider to be a true worshiper. And the Bible says concerning this true worshiper, John chapter 4 and verse 24, that God is seeking such. So God is seeking this kind of person. Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him, for God is spirit," verse 24, "and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." That was John 4, verse 23 and verse 24. And so the true worshiper is one who's going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we only find truth inside of God's word. As we find it, we must be willing to change. We must be willing to do what he says, even if that means leaving the place where I'm currently worshiping. It may be that I'm worshiping at a place today and I don't believe that they're teaching the truth. It may be that I have to get out of that environment because they're not teaching the truth. And I always say that, you know, it's a good opportunity to show someone if you believe they're not teaching the truth. But you show them that inside of God's word. What does God's word says, or what does the Bible say? We encourage you that if you have a question, maybe there's something that you heard today in your service, maybe there's something that you heard in a Bible class, or maybe there's something that your parents taught you all your life to be true, and now you have a question about whether or not that's really in the Bible, or what does the Bible say about that? We encourage you to call in your question right now. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. As Chuck mentioned, we do have that text line available to you. And so if you want to text in your questions, you can. That text number is 725-9283. 725-9283. This will be a good opportunity to talk a little bit about a free offering we have. Usually around this time of year, what we try to do is to give out more materials to help you in your study of God's Word. And so what we have for you is a free Bible reading schedule that you can receive in the mail, or you can go to our website and print it out if you'd like. But we can send that to you along with a free DVD. Now, that DVD is going to tell you about the gospel. It's going to tell you about, again, spiritual things, things that's going to aid you in your study of God's word. If that is something that you are interested in, then we encourage you to go and just sign up for it. You can dial 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Let us know that you're interested in the free DVD, and we'll send that to you in the mail, or that you're interested in the free Bible reading schedule, and we'll send that to you. As the new year approaches, what typically happens, we all say to ourselves, in the new year, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to study more. I'm going to try to serve God even better. Well, these are tools that can aid you in your study of God's Word. So if you're interested in the free DVD and the free Bible schedule, reading schedule, just call 553-5157. You leave a message and let us know what you're interested in, along with your name and address, so we can send this to you, and we'll get that out in the mail to you. So join us right now here at the station. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. If you wish, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We're going to go ahead and take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions, 308-9564. We're going to tell you about another free opportunity for you is this correspondence material, Bible course that we offer in the mail. And again, everything that we offer is free. We do not have a desire for anybody's money. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, freely you have received, freely give. And so we have a free Bible correspondence course that we can send to you in the mail. Again, listen closely. And if that's something that you're going to be interested in, then you dial that number. That number again is 553-5157. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We, again, are this is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions. We encourage you to call in right now. 308-9564 is the number here at the station. 308-9564. If you prefer, again, you can text in your questions at 725-9283. 725-9283. Chuck, I believe you have a question.
Yes, Carolyn has two questions. I'll take the second one and leave you the first one. Carolyn's second question says is about common law marriages. She wants to know, is it legal and binding since it is the law of the land? Now, I am not too knowledgeable about common law marriages, but the only thing I do know about common law marriages is that I believe it's a period of 7 years of living together. And then the certain states recognize that as marriage. If I'm mistaken, someone please feel free to call and let us know if I'm mistaken on that. But as far as the law of the law, that being the law of the land, well, versus the law of God. Now the law of God we see in Genesis when God created Eve for Adam, he says it's good for man to not be alone. And then he makes Eve for him, and he says, for this reason, a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife. And so God's law and plan on marriage is one man for one woman for life. We get that from Genesis when Eve was created for Adam, and also in Matthew chapter 19 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that teaches God's law of marriage is for a man and woman to be joined together and for them not to divorce. For any reason except for sexual immorality. Now, that's God's law. Man's law is a little bit different from God's law on that. So the question is, whose law do I take precedent in? Do I take precedent in God's law, or do I take precedent in man's law? And the apostles give us an example of this in Acts chapter 5. Here, Peter and John were told multiple times, commanded multiple times by the law that they were not supposed to be teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. And in Acts chapter 5, in verse 28, here's one of the people, one of the high priests saying them. In verse 28, it says, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us, talking about Christ. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So even though the law of the land may tell you it's okay, you're married, if you know, 7 years of shacking up is marriage, that's not God's law. God's law does not say for a specific time of you living together, you're automatically married. So we must obey God's law on marriage and not man's law if we are to be pleasing to him. Carolyn, hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have been thinking about that similar similar situation or question. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Carolyn's first question goes back to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. Genesis 28 and verse 22, and she asked if we could explain this. And verse 22 is the end of a fairly long context. In verse 22 it says, "And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth or tithe to you." So these are the words of Jacob, and this is Jacob's commitment to God. Now, the background on this is that God would promise Abraham, somewhere around Genesis chapter 12, the first three or four verses there, God makes a blessing. God gives him a series of blessings or promises, and one of the promises God makes to him is, "In you all nations of the earth shall be blessed." And then further in Genesis 22, we see God reaffirming that commitment to him somewhere around verses 17 and 18 of Genesis 22, and where God says, "In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed." And so God was going to bring about this blessing, this seed blessing, through Abraham and really through Abraham's lineage. And so Abraham would have two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, but Isaac would be the son of the promise. And Isaac would have two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob would be the son of promise. And so God is using these individuals, people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and will eventually lead to the bringing about of Christ, the Messiah. But in that, God is blessing these individuals. God bless Isaac. God's going to bless Jacob as he's bringing about the fulfillment of this promise that he made to Abraham. This is sort of where we pick up with Jacob, because Jacob is in a dream. And God is reaffirming again that God was going to be with him. I want to pick up in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and says, you know, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God." Now, that phrase, house of God, also being translated Bethel, is basically what we've come to know it as. That word Bethel means house of God. And he says this is none other than the house of God. So he's calling that place the house of God. Now, what we note is earlier he would take a stone from this place that where he was at, and he would use that stone sort of as a pillow. Somewhere around verse 11, the Bible says, "So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that of that place and he put it at his head and he laid down in that place to sleep." This place where he was at is called Bethel, or the house of God. He has this dream. God tells him that God's going to be with him. He wakes up. He says, "This is awesome. This is none other than the house of God." And so what he does now is he's going to build some type of pillars or altar, if you will, to God. In verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put at his head. He set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. And Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God.'" And so this pile of stone, which he's calling Bethel or the house of God, represents this pillar and this commitment that he's making to God, that God was going to be his God. And the recognition that God said that he was going to be with him. I hope that's helpful. We see that being done throughout the Old Testament, where God has made a promise to a person, and they build a pillar or an altar, and that represents, again, the agreement that they've made with God, or agreement that God has made with them, and it serves sort of as a memorial to that agreement or to that event that may have taken place in that location. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. As always, you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283.
Just now, I was showing a little bit of information on common law marriages, and so I mentioned earlier about the 7 years, that's not necessarily what it means. But honestly, that's not really the point. I wanted to make reference that I wasn't right about that. But at the same time, the main point in answering the question was that God's law on marriage overrides whatever man's law on marriage is. That was the main point that I was trying to make. So hopefully that clears that up a little bit. So I was wrong on exactly what common law marriage is. But in the long run, if you're trying to please God, it doesn't really matter. You focus on what God's word says about what he expects out of a man and a woman when they are joined together in his sight. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. We also want to just remind you and encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence course. We are offering a free Bible reading schedule and also a free DVD, as well as, including the Bible Correspondence course. And so we just want to help you in your service to God and how you are trying to learn more of God's word and what it can do for you in your life. There are many, far, far too many false teachings going around nowadays, and we would be very naive to think otherwise. The enemy has done a lot to show falseness going around and just a lot of wrong things. But we can't keep giving the devil so much credit. You know, that's a sad problem that a lot of people have. We give the devil so much credit. Oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. When a lot of times it's our own faults that is the real root of the problem. While, yes, there is a lot of false teaching going on, my own fault is sometimes, am I focused on studying God's word for myself? Because if I'm studying God's word for myself enough, then when I hear those false teachings, I will recognize how different it is from God's word. And if I'm a part of a congregation that's claiming to be God's people, or we're some kind of denominational church, or we have some kind of booklet that we add to the Bible that say we are following after God, but we also have these set of rules that we're also following after. Well, if I'm a part of a group that does that, then I need to be studying God's word to make sure that whatever book we add to the Bible that makes us a particular type of church, does that make me a follower of Christ or a follower of man? And a lot of times my own faults is what causes me to not necessarily pay attention to that when I should. So hopefully if you're listening to this program and you might happen to fall into that category, then let's just encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence course. We've literally had thousands and thousands of people throughout the years of this program that have been on the Correspondence course. And we often hear, we try a lot to get around and meet people face-to-face and study face-to-face with people. And we hear multiple times that we are helping people with God's word to learn more and more things that they've never heard. I mean, we've had people who were churchgoers for years and years, decades, that have heard and learned and studied things in a Bible Correspondence course that they never, ever knew, because there were so many teachings that they missed. So hopefully you don't fall into that area. And if you think that you might, go ahead, sign up for the Correspondence course at 553-5157. We're about to go to break, but before we go to break, Sam has a question that he wants to ask live on air. Sam, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I got a third letter of John. It seemed like John had a problem with one of his disciples. His name was Diotrephes. He's in the
Diotrephes chapter. You talking about Diotrephes?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He seemed like he was causing a little problem.
Yes.
Either he was a stool pigeon snake or, in terms, a snitch. But John had a problem with him. Whatever I'm trying to figure out whatever happened to him. It's not. I looked all over the Bible and couldn't find it. But I just want to know, what did he get rid of him?
There's nothing in the Bible that tells us what the eventual results were. All it tells us that when John was going to come there, he was going to deal with him. But there's nothing in the Bible that tells us exactly what the outcome was.
Well, most likely he probably got rid of him.
Well, just to kind of go with that in terms of what God's word actually says. Well, we see here in 3 John that you pointed out very well that, yeah, Diotrephes was causing some problems there in the church. And so if we look over at Matthew 19, we see what Christ commanded us to do as his followers, as members of his church. He commanded us on how to deal with individuals inside the church who would be causing some type of issues like that. And it's in Matthew chapter 18, it starts.
And the second letter of John, if we look over at the ninth one, it talks about it right there too. I noticed. Anyone?
Oh yeah, second.
On ahead.
Yeah. That you. Yep. Second John. You're right. Second John, verse 9. Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Right. Verse 10. If anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your house. True. All right. So yeah, that's there as well. And once again, like in Matthew 18, how it points out that there are certain ways that you deal with people who are inside the church that are not following the correct way in serving and loving brothers and sisters in Christ like we should. So in Matthew 18, there's verses 15 through 20 gives what probably happened if Diotrephes did not repent from his behavior.
Well, I think being that John had a vision, he was with Jesus, I believe he reprimanded him and said, set them right back on the right course.
Well,
so that's what I believe.
Okay, and which is fine, but again, as we seek to let the Bible speak, all we can do is speak where it speaks, and we definitely have scriptures that tells us exactly what's supposed to happen. We just don't know what happened. But we definitely know, Sam. I think we all know that he sought to correct him, so that's pretty clear. And it's just whatever happened as a result of that. Did he respond to it or not? We just don't have that kind of information.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. And good afternoon to you, too.
All right. Appreciate it.
So take care of yourself. Appreciate it.
All right. You, too. You have a good evening. Right. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening,
right.
too.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sam's a longtime listener. We do appreciate him. I appreciate he always has good questions for us. And what we've found over the years is a lot of times that when people ask questions, they're asking questions seemingly for themselves, but it has an impact on our listeners. Many of our listeners, they have the same question, and maybe they won't call in. And so we appreciate people like Sam. In fact, I got a question from Ben. Ben is a longtime listener as well, and he has a question. And I'm confident that people like Ben and Sam, as they ask their questions, they're helping our other listeners. And so we really do appreciate that. It is time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to continue to call in your questions. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564. Or if you wish, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Once again, we appreciate you hanging out with us and being able to, we're hoping that you are blessed in what we have been able to do for you and giving you God's words and God's answers to the questions that are on your hearts and on your minds. And we appreciate you being with us. This is a live call-in question and answer radio program. It is 2:05 p.m. Sunday, December 8th. We are absolutely live, and we're here to take your questions. Go ahead, call in right now, 308-9564. You ask your Bible question, 308-9564. Once again, just want to remind you that we are offering a free Bible reading schedule. It's on our website. It's a schedule of how to read through the Bible completely in 1 year. So there's a Bible reading schedule that's free. Also, there's a DVD that we also have for you that is also free. We never will ask for any kind of contributions or handouts or any kind of money. Keep your hands in your pockets. Don't worry. We're not going to try to bait and switch you or anything like that. There is absolutely no cost. There's no shipping cost. There's no hidden cost. There's no cost to you whatsoever. The only thing that it could cost you is your soul. And you wouldn't want that, and we wouldn't want that. So there's a lot of information that is in that is contained in the things that we're offering. The Bible Correspondence Course, this Bible reading schedule. A lot of people say, well, I want to study the Bible. I don't know where to start. Well, there goes that excuse. So there's so many things that a lot of times we just need the right motivation to do the things of God and to do things that are pleasing in God's word. And that's where we fall in. That's what we want to try to encourage you and edify and build you up to do, to stir you up to love and good works. We want to help you be able to do this and be pleasing to God. So thank you so much for your attention, and we pray that we are a blessing to you. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564.
Prior to going to break, I mentioned that Ben called in. Ben, we sure do appreciate you calling in and being a committed listener to the broadcast, and we're hopeful, Ben, that as the things that we reveal from God's Word, that you're putting these things to practice, and not just you, but our listeners are putting these things into practice. Ben has a question about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and his question is, how to be transformed by renewing the mind? You know, how does that happen? So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, Ben, very good question. How do we renew our mind? Every time I hear a question like this, I always think of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, here you have Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. So he's writing to Christians, and he's telling them about changing. And that change starts in their mind. And so what he says in verse 22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, your former behavior. He says the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. They have to change their behavior. How do I renew my mind? Verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so I have to start by putting off the old man. And so you know who the old man is, right? The old man is the one that had this former conduct that was not in line with God. You know, I used to go out and at one time I used to steal. Well, yeah, I can't steal anymore. And that's what he says in this text. Somewhere around verse 28, he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands. What is good? I have to change my behavior. You know, years ago, I get all upset and get angry. And when I get angry, I tear up something. But now I've put off that old man. So, according to verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Well, you know, sometimes because I get upset, then I just say anything out of my mouth. I know a lot of people says, well, I'm a Christian, and they just say anything out of their mouth. Well, no, I got to change the way I talk, too. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. That word edification means a building up, that it may impart grace, he says, to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, how do I renew my mind? I let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then he says in verse 32, and be kind to one another, you know, tenderhearted, you know, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so I think that's a good place to start. You start by putting away the old man and with his old practices. And ladies and gentlemen, we know whether or not we've put away that old person. You know, if I'm talking about being a Christian for umpteen years, and I'm still, you know, using profanity, and I'm still, when someone cut me off, and I'm still getting upset, and I try to cut them off in traffic, if I'm still, you know, vengeful, if I'm still, you know, have my old habits, maybe I'm stealing. Maybe I'm a fighter and I'm a brawler, and so you say something to me, oh, you better not say nothing to me, man. You don't know me. I'll hurt you. If that's still my attitude, then chances are I haven't put away the old man. You know, I get angry and I want to tear up something. Well, you know, that's the old man. And so to be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to find the kind of mind that the Lord wants you to have. And then now you carry it out in the manner in the way you live. You know, you change the way you walk. You change the way you talk. You change the way you live. You change the way you give. You got to change. And change in so much till you look like Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Ben, very good question for us, and I think a very helpful question for us. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283.
We have Tony calling in this question. Tony's questioning is asking, is it a sin to smoke marijuana? Well, there's a couple of different ways that we can do this. And well, recently there have been a couple of states in the United States that have actually legalized this activity. But here in South Carolina, it's not legalized. So that would fall under Romans chapter 13, which tells us to obey the law of the land. And so thereby, if we disobey the laws of the land, then we are disobeying God. Now, once again, I preface that by saying a law of the land that does not go against a law of God. So we should always serve God and follow God's law. And so when there are laws of man that do not go against laws of God, then we are fine to follow laws of man. But let's say, for example, if South Carolina did legalize this activity and it's now legal, or it's a law of the land that it's okay to do that, well, then we would have to ask ourselves, does any other parts of God's word show us or implore us to do good things to our body? Because this drug, as well as other things, are known to destroy certain parts of the body. It minimizes the mind and has some other kind of side effects to it. And so we see in Ephesians chapter 5, where we are told in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, and which is in dissipation or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so he is telling us there that it's not good to be drunk with wine. And so that is a similar. I'm not too familiar on the feelings and everything of the different types of drugs or whatever. But most drugs, as well as too much wine, it alters your original thought process. It takes the normal functions of the body and it alters the normal functions of the body. So would God be pleased with me altering a normal function or a normal process of the body which he created for me? Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we're told that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we're supposed to be presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So would I be presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God if I am damaging the natural processes of it? And that probably, in certain people's opinion, would not be limited to just this drug, but other drugs as well, and even cigarettes and things of that nature that destroys parts of our bodies. Nick, you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to add Titus chapter 2, where you have Paul addressing various groups of people. So he's addressing the older men. He's addressing the older women in verse 2 and 3 of Titus chapter 2. And then in verse 4, he talks about teaching the young women, and that the older women were supposed to be teaching the young women to be sober, he says. And so there's a sense in which both the younger women and the older women and the older men, we're all supposed to be a sober-minded. In fact, in verse 6, he says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And so the idea they're supposed to be clear in mind, sound in mind, of right mind, to be able to exercise self-control. The Greek word here carries with it that idea. And so we should not take in anything that's going to hinder our ability to have a sober or sound mind as we have been commanded. Any more there, Chuck?
As you were speaking, Steve mentioned to me about kind of the comment that was preference about it with marijuana being a plant of the field, and it's, God created everything everything being good. Well, if God created things that are good, it's man. We're the ones that perverted the use of things and perverted things. God created created sexual intercourse, and man has perverted that. God created a lot of things that man has perverted. And once again, there are other plants that people have that God created. There are plants that God created that people have turned into drugs and things of that nature that would hinder, once again, this idea of being sober-minded, our natural thought process. You know, if I'm not mistaken, the drug cocaine, that's made from a plant or something like that. So once again, that's a plant that was made, but man perverted it and used it in a way, the cocoa bean, man perverted it and used it in a way that is not helpful in terms of serving God or obeying God or having the type of bodily functions that he naturally created for us. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Tony, as well as other people who may have had that question. It is time for us to take a break. But even while we are on this break, you can please go ahead and call in your question. You can call it at 308-9564. That's the number to reach us here, 308-9564. And once again, we're going to be talking about the Bible Correspondence Course, and we encourage you to go ahead and call and sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. And sign up for that, as well as if you would like to receive the Bible reading course, which is free, and also the DVD that we have available to you, which is also free. So a lot of free material we're already and willing to give you. You can call that number 553-5157 to enroll in the course, 553-5157. But once again, even while we're at break, you can call in your question at 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Once again, we are back live, and we appreciate you being able to sit in with us, and we want to continue to encourage you. We are trying to be very, very earnest in our motives and letting you know that we see a lot of things that are going on today in the religious world, and we have so many conversations with people that they just want to know what the Bible really says. And, you know, kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading, and the eunuch said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And the sad thing is there's just far too many people guiding people the wrong way. There's far too many people in positions of religious knowledge or leadership that are just not fully consistent with obeying God's word, and that's one of the great tragedies of this world that we live in, because that will have eternal consequences. And so when we offer you free Bible correspondence courses, and when we tell you that if you dial 553-5157 and you leave your information on the answer machine there, and if you just tell us, "Hey, I would like to have a Bible let the Bible speak in my home. I would like to have a Bible study," or even if you want to learn more about our congregation and the things that we teach and where we meet and things like of that nature, that if you are feel so inclined that the Word of God is nothing but the whole truth, and that you want to follow the truth, and you're looking for a group that just tries their most earnest and diligent efforts to just do God's word, when we encourage you, dial 553-5157. Sign up for a correspondence course. You're invited to help. We will get us to help you in any way, shape, or form we can in learning God's word and applying it to your life. So that is our earnest desire. But to call us here at the station, 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here. Or you can text in your question. The text line is available, 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have Katrina calling in today. Katrina calls about a passage there in Genesis chapter 3. It says, "How did the serpent or Satan come about?" Well, if we look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, what is clear is that the serpent was a created being. And the Bible says that. In verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said," and so the Bible has the serpent speaking, says, "He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" And so we have depicted here the serpent, he is beguiling or tricking the woman into partaking of the forbidden tree, of the forbidden fruit. And so, again, it says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so he was a made creature or made being like you and I. God created him. Another passage to consider is Revelation 12 and verse 9, which says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And so the Bible refers to that serpent as the devil, or as Satan, or as this great dragon that's spoken of in Revelation 12 and verse 9. But certainly he was a created being. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text us at 725-9283.
Before we went to break, we noticed that there was a call, maybe two, that we missed. And we just wanted to let you know that if you called and you did not get through, please go ahead and call back. The lines are clear and open right now. 308-9564, go ahead and call back. We apologize for that. But once again, we just want to preference that by saying we are trying to get to the phones as much as possible. And we don't want to miss any calls. But if you would just let the phone ring, just let it keep ringing. And, you know, put it on speaker or something if you don't want to have it to your ear. But just let it keep ringing, and we will get to you as soon as we can. All the calls come in succession. And also along with that, when you call, please have your question ready. Unfortunately, we do not have a dialogue line. It's not a line that you can just call and kind of get comfortable with talking. But please, if you could, it would help us out a lot if you would have your question ready. And if your question is ready, we can get it as soon as possible and be able to get to other callers who may be behind you. So I know sometimes people have to explain their question a little bit, but if you could just have your question ready as best as you can and go ahead and be ready to hang up, we can get to all callers. So once again, if we missed your call, we apologize, but please go ahead and call back 308-9564. The lines are available. We have a caller who called in this question on Acts chapter 20 in verse 7. The question says, "Can I do it at home? Some say I can do this at home." Well, let's see what Acts 20 and verse 7 says, and let's find out if you can do this at home. In Acts chapter 20 in verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight." So it seems as if this person is probably pertaining this question to the first part of this verse rather than the second part. But if we look at the entire verse by together, as I just read it, we see multiple times there was a plurality, there were plural pronouns used. Disciples is plural there. And then as far as Paul, it says he spoke to them and he contained his message in midnight. So we see the plural pronoun, we see them, and so we see disciples used as plural. And so it says the disciples, they came together to break bread. That break bread, that phrase meaning the Lord's Supper. And if you look at the Greek words that are used there, they are consistent with the same phrase of break bread, or the Greek term being used in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse, I think it's 13 or no 16, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10:16, that talks about breaking bread, talk about being the communion of the body of Christ. And so that term in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 talk about communion or the Lord's Supper. So on the first day of the week, the disciples of Christ, the followers of Christ, the church, the members of the church, they came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. That was the very purpose of them coming together on the first day of the week. Well, today is the first day of the week, and if you are a disciple of Christ, you should have gotten together with other disciples to break bread. Now, can you do it at home? Well, we imagine that if we study the book of Acts correctly, and specifically Acts chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, we see that that's exactly what they did. They met inside people's homes. So can you do this at home? Yeah, you just can't be by yourself. You got to be with the disciples, because it says on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Where they come together at? You can come together wherever you like. But it has to be the first day of the week, has to be a disciples of Christ, and you have to break bread. You partake of the Lord's Supper. That's what seems like this verse is showing us here by example, by an apostle's example. So hopefully that's been helpful to your caller, as well as anyone else who may have had this question. 308-9564. Once again, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. It is time for us to take a break. Even while we are at break, please go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we just want to continue to encourage you to call 553-5157 to leave your information there on the answer machine on operator standing by that we have. And we will be able to send you the free Bible reading schedule in the mail. We will be able to send you the free information DVD, as well as the main thing we like to offer, the free Bible correspondence course. That is just the design as the Bible study that you can do at your leisure, that you don't have to meet at a building at 6 o'clock on Wednesday or seven. You don't have to try to worry about getting off work, getting the kids out of school, such like that, just to make it a Bible study on time. The Bible correspondence course is designed for you whenever is best for you, whether in the morning, late at night, after you get off work, before you go to work, whatever, if you're in school or studying, whatever the case may be, whatever in your life is your time where you can spend some time in God's Word, the Bible correspondence course will work for you to be able to learn more of God's Word. And it, once again, it is our earnest desire that you are seeking after God's truth and not being comfortable with the many, 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 far too many false teachings and false doctrines that are going on in the religious world right now. It is our earnest desire that you are listening to God's Word. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Nick, you got a question?
I do. We have a question. Says, where can I find the sign of the rainbow? And what does it mean? So we go to Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 through 16, we have God giving this covenant. The rainbow really was a covenant that God was putting in place with Noah, but not just with Noah. It was going to be a covenant for all mankind as a result that he had brought the flood against the earth. In verse 8 of Genesis chapter 9, the Bible says, and God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and so God says in verse 9 that he was going to establish my covenant. He said, I want to establish a covenant with you and your descendants after you. And verse 10, he says, and with every living creature that is with you, birds and cattle, every beast, and verse 11, he said, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God says, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 13, I set my rainbow in the cloud, or my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And so this is a covenant with Noah. This is a covenant with Noah's descendants. This is a covenant with the animals. But this was a covenant God made with the earth, that he was not going to destroy the earth again by a flood. And verse 14, it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant with which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Again, that was Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 through 16. I hope that's been helpful. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number here at the station to call in your question. 308-9564.
We have Leslie calling in this question. Leslie is becoming a pretty consistent listener and caller. We appreciate that, Leslie. We enjoy you and your questions, and we hopefully that you are receiving edification and being built up from the scriptures that we give you when you ask your questions, as well as other other questions out there. So thank you, Leslie. We appreciate that, as well as our other consistent listeners. Leslie's question this week says, what does it mean to examine yourself when taking the Lord's Supper? This language is used as far as examining yourself while taking the Lord's Supper is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the context, it starts in verse 23. Well, actually, no, it starts in verse 17. And it ends throughout the end, goes to the end of the chapter to verse 34, which the entire letter, this book of 1 Corinthians, it is a letter or epistle to the church that was meeting there in the first century in Corinth. Now, Corinth was this congregation had some issues, had some problems. And even though we don't have it recorded throughout history, we see in chapter 7, in verse 1 of chapter 7, Paul says, now concerning the things which you wrote to me. So we know that the church here in Corinth, they wrote a letter to Paul on specific subjects, and they wanted him to address them. And so that's what this letter is, 1 Corinthians. It is a letter of Paul responding to the letter that they wrote to him and the questions that they had, and he's addressing some of the issues. One of the issues that they had was taking the Lord's Supper in a correct manner. They had turned this Lord's Supper meal, which is supposed to be, once again, we looked at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, that's the very purpose that they were coming together on the first day of the week for. We saw that earlier in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. So the saints there, the disciples, who are part of the church, the very purpose of them coming together on the first day of the week was to take the Lord's Supper. And so here, this church in Corinth, they had turned this holy meal, which is supposed to be a memorial of Jesus Christ, they had turned that into just a common meal, just coming together. Some people were eating before others and eating more. Some people were actually getting drunk off of the fruit of the vine there. And so he is reprimanding them. He is correcting them. He is instructing them in righteousness, reproving them, showing them the right way that they are supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper. And so here in one of the things he says, if we go down to verse 23, he starts saying when the Lord implemented it. And in verse 24, he says that when he broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, the new covenant or new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often, once again, we see the word as often as you eat this drink, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Proclaiming is making a proclamation. It's like shouting it out, making a statement that I am here. I'm going to do this. And in this situation, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes because he commanded that you would remember him. And so that's what we're doing here. And then it says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I take that to mean when you examine yourself, you should be examining yourself in remembrance of Christ. Because the very thing we're supposed to be doing is remembering Christ. When we take the bread, we should be remembering his body. When we take the cup, we should be remembering this new covenant that is in his blood. The blood that he shed for us that cleanses us of our sins, and the new covenant that he has given to us that he has commanded us to follow. So that's how we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves based off of Christ's new covenant law. This new covenant law starts in Matthew and it ends in Revelation. He has commanded us to live a certain way. He gave his commands to his apostles. His apostles, they spread out this teaching, and they spread it and they passed it throughout all the world. And they wrote epistles. They wrote letters. And the letters, through God's providence, has been combined and contained for us. And God's promise of his word that it lives and endures and abides forever. We are able to trust that. Because we have here this the words of Christ that he passed down to the apostles, and the apostles are passed down through us, that has spread. And so we should be examining ourselves in response to how we're obeying the new covenant. Christ's blood is sins washing, Christ's blood washing our sins away. And of course, the bread, the body, remembering the body that was broken and beaten and scourged and spit on, mocked and betrayed and tortured for us. So that's what we examine. We examine ourselves in response to Christ, what he's done for us, how his body was broken for us, and in response to how we are obeying Christ's new covenant, the new covenant in his blood. Once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17, and the context ends all the way in verse 13. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Leslie, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564, or you can have the text line. The text line is available, 725-9283,
725-9283. Nick? Yes, I have a text question that has come in. I believe this text question came in, yes. It says, I had a person say marriage is a piece of paper. South Carolina common law says I'm already married. What does the Bible say? As I mentioned earlier, in fact, we're probably not that familiar with South Carolina common law. We have to go look it up on the Internet. And so the truth of the matter is that God doesn't legislate on the ceremonial or even the civil aspect of marriage. And we just have to be obedient to the laws of the land. I believe Romans 13 may cover that. But the civil law concerning marriage does not have more superiority over God's law concerning marriage. And so not only must we meet the civil law concerning marriage, we must also meet God's law concerning marriage, because God's law has superiority. And so, the ceremonies, they differ from one state to the next state. They differ from one country to the next country. And that doesn't just take away from the individuals getting married based upon whatever the law of that country may be or whatever the law of that state may be. That's the civil ordinance, if you will, regarding marriage. But concerning God's law on marriage, those things remain the same. God sees this as a commitment before him between the husband and the wife. There are passages like Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the idea is once they become this one flesh, no one can separate them. We find Jesus essentially making mention of this when he's approached by some Jews concerning God's marriage law. And Jesus says in verse 4, Matthew 19, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, or let no man separate. And so in that text, it says that God is the one who does the joining in marriage. And so I have to make sure that I can meet God's criteria in order to be joined to a person. I may not be able to meet his criteria, but I need to make sure that I can and that I hold to his laws concerning marriage. The Bible, there's an interesting passage in Malachi 2, and verse 14. The Bible says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. What's interesting about this text, and I just want to highlight that it just brings out that God is the witness. He is the witness between a husband and a wife. So he is the one that understands that you made a vow or a commitment to your spouse. And then so you have to hold to that. And you also must meet the civil law of the area or the location that you're in. If you were in Africa, whatever the civil law is concerning marriage in Africa, you would have to meet that law. If the civil law in South Carolina is that you put your name on a piece of paper and then they recognize marriage, well, you hold to that civil law, whatever that civil law is. The man's law is not superior to God's law, and man's law does not replace God's law. They both have to be upheld according to God. I hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. It is time for us to take our final break. And when we come back from break, we got about two or three questions here on deck. We will try our best to be able to answer those questions before the end of the broadcast. But we want to make mention one last time that we do have the free DVD and Bible reading schedule that available to you. Just call 553-5157. Let us know that you're interested in receiving that in the mail, and we'll send that to you in the mail. We also have the Bible Correspondence course that's available to you as well. We're going to tell you more about that in just a few moments. We'll be right back. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course that is available to you free of charge. We will send that to you in the mail. Number to call is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Along with what we're offering free of charge is the DVD and the Bible reading schedule. Let us encourage you once more. Take advantage of these tools. These are just tools that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We can do, or we can afford to do, whatever it would take to learn more about God and to be right in His sight. 553-5157. Take advantage of it, please. Go ahead and call in your questions now. This is our last segment. The number to call here at the station is 308-9564. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283.
We have Brandon calling in this question. It's about where two or three people are gathered together, I am there. He's been told that it's the Holy Spirit. He wants to know where that is in the Bible. Well, that's not in the Bible, but where what you have heard is just kind of a different. It's a different from what Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 says. That phraseology is shown in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, but it's Jesus here speaking. This is Jesus talking. So in Matthew 18 verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So we have Jesus telling them that, and that's once again, that's not the Holy Spirit. So we have Brandon just getting some clarity on that. That was Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. 308-9564. You can still catch us here in this last segment. 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in. Says, if a woman likes a man, can she be the first to approach him? Does the Bible say anything about that? Is it proper? Well, that's a good question. I'm sitting here racking my brain about a passage that may speak to that, but I just can't find any passage. You know, maybe some principles of scriptures may apply here. You know, I don't remember any passage that where God is speaking on whether or not you can or you cannot. I don't think there's a passage in the Bible. It probably has more to do with what is proper. And the Bible does talk about that, but usually under the idea of dress or women professing godliness. And there's a sense in which you would carry yourself. But I don't have anything. Here's a scripture that applies to this. I just don't have that. And so it's a good question. I think each person has to kind of, on this particular one, have to work it out for themselves. Chuck, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. Once again, kind of saying no, not necessarily. Same way. Just I can't. I was trying to come up with a scripture and kind of besides this idea of what's proper or just being modest or having a godly lifestyle. As long as you're still professing godliness, then no, I wouldn't see anything wrong with a woman approaching a man in terms of showing some type of romantic interest. But once again, that must be in a form of professing godliness and being holy. But besides that, yeah, there's no scripture that would show only the man can be the one to initiate contact.
And so those passages that we're talking about that talks about a woman professing, you know, godliness or modesty, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, says, in like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel and propriety and moderation, and not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Verse 11 says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. There's a sense of modesty that a woman is supposed to present herself with, and you just have to determine whether going up and letting a man know that you're interested in him, is that still me showing modesty or shamefacedness? And again, you have to determine how you, this particular text really applies to attire, you know, how a person dress. And so I'm not so sure you can apply it, there's nothing here that says you have to apply it the other way. But this is all we have to offer to aid you in making your decision. Again, that was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 or so. Thanks for calling in, and we wish you the best in that. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564.
We have this this person calling in this question, and it says that their friend has mother-in-law issues, and they asked us to please elaborate on the leaving and cleaving. And so that I'm assuming that's going to be the text where God tells us, for this reason a man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, or be joined to his wife. And so we want to preference this, the focus of the marriage relationship, how you do have to leave father and mother and be joined to your wife. For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. This is elaborated on in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. If you study that passage there, and I'm not going to necessarily go through it for time's sake, but if you study that passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23, the end of the chapter, you will see clear and evident the relationship that a husband and a wife is supposed to have should be of one of very, very strong oneness, this unity that they're supposed to have. And you should not let, yes, even your own mother, or in her case a father or whoever, you should not let a parent or, you know, anyone come in between the oneness that you should have with one another. And that should be in Christ. That oneness should be in Christ as well, because you can't put your spouse before God. And so both the husband and the wife are supposed to be solely united in being in God's word and being obeying God. And you as the husband or the wife, you should be focused on being the husband or the wife that God wants you to be. And you should continue to be a good example, and also to be able to help your spouse. You know, you each of the spouses help one another in what type of husband and wife you are to be towards one another. So once again, that's Ephesians chapter 5, 23 through 33, and that shows the focus on what type of marriage that the two people should have, and how the father or the mother should not negatively affect the oneness of the husband and the wife. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. 308-9564. We got a few minutes left. 308-9564. You can catch us if you call now. 308-9564.
As we bring the broadcast to a close here, we have just a few minutes. As Chuck mentioned, we want to make mention again of the free Bible reading schedule that we're offering, as well as the free DVD that will be tools to aid you in your study of God's Word. That is available to you free of charge. If you would like to sign up for that, go ahead and call right now, 553-5157. Make sure you speak clearly, leave your name and address so that we know where to send this material to. Again, that number is 553-5157. You can also take the time and opportunity while you're leaving that message to say, to let us know that you're interested in the free Bible correspondence course. We'll send that to you in the mail as well. Another tool to aid you in your study of God's Word. We'll send you a study in the mail. You complete the first study. You send it back to us. We'll grade it. We'll send you the next study in the series. And that's just the way it works. We will try to reach out to you if the general sense is that you need something that is more more intermediate as far as your knowledge. And so we try to match you up with the proper material. We want you to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. We want to be able to help you in that. So that's the purpose. That's the goal. Again, that number is 553-5157. As we take and look and consider the questions that have come in today, the questions that have come in through over the last several months, it is clear that there are a lot of people out there that are interested in the things of God. You should be applauded because you are concerned about your soul, and you're checking out the things that are being taught in the pulpit around South Carolina or around the various states, you're concerned with those things, and you want to make sure those things are in line with the Word of God. And so it makes sense that when someone stands up and begin to teach and proclaiming that they're teaching the things of God, for you to go to God's Word to find the answer. Now, God's Word is the only place where we can find His truth. When Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, verse 17, He says to His Father, "Sanctify them by Thy truth." He says, "Thy Word is truth." And so we have to go to the Bible every time, to God's truth, to find out whether the things that people are saying, whether those things are right or not. Let us encourage you, not only in this week, but every day of your life, when it comes down to a matter of faith, when it comes down to a matter of religion, when it comes down to trying to determine whether something is right spiritually or false spiritually, when you're trying to determine whether the person is a righteous teacher or a false teacher, no matter what it is, if it pertains to life and godliness, we encourage you to let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians Belonging.